Zito from 7th to 1st in the final event. You are a champion.
And Oleksiak has done it! The girl from the 6th has got 6 Olympic medals!
The substitute for Canada just about gets it through! It's a glory gold for Canada!
Kathy Lefty goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
It is Off the Podium, an Olympic podcast coming to you today for your favorite type of episode, a review on an opening ceremony that happened in the past, specifically 52 years ago in the past. Yes, Ben's math works out because we are here to go over the Munich 1972 Olympic opening ceremony, the oldest one that we can find. And boy, oh boy, does it show that it's old, because there's not much to talk about in this one. But for once, somebody's going to do a podcast on Munich 1972 that might be positive. Maybe. I'm not too sure. Speaking of positive, Jared Lubick's with us. Jared, welcome back to Off the Podium.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I'm excited to talk about, hours and hours of athletes' parades and a couple of minutes of cultural display.
Some handbags and some Nazi salutes. What more do you want from an opening ceremony? Possibly Colin Hilding, because he's with us here too. I want Colin Hilding in my opening ceremony. Colin, welcome back to Off the Podium.
Thank you. I'm coming to you live from Canada with a K this week.
Yes. Do you have a feather in your fedora today at all?
I have some bell bottoms on right now.
Okay. Do you have a handbag? Do you have a purse carrying out ready to go?
Got polka dots ready to go?
Yeah.
I've got to ask Jamie. I'm going to have to raid her closet in order to match my team this week.
Got a whip. Ready to go. That's it. We've done. That's the Munich 1972 opening ceremony. Cover the bases. But, I love this series. I love what we're doing. This one's just going to be a very interesting one. But before we get to it, two housekeeping matters that I've got to get to, because it's not often us three get together. And usually when we do, it's for an occasion, be it an opening ceremony or if we just did the Youth Olympics a little over a month ago. And generally when we get together, we're pretty on point when it comes to doing all the regular things we do in episodes. But our last two episodes, we let it slip. Let's be honest, I let it slip. I'm the host. I didn't get to two things that we're meant to do. The first one, on our wrap of the Gangwon Olympics, Youth Olympics, we didn't give our final medal prediction tally to see who won. Now, I think I deliberately missed that because I didn't win. And because Jared and I are Australian, we need to band together and neither of us won. So because a Canadian won, I think I ignored that, but congratulations, Colin, you got correct. You had 13. I don't even know what I've scored this at. I've just written here, Colin 13, Jared and Ben 8. So I think that combined all our predictions of Canada, Australia, and was it in the Netherlands that we predicted, I think? So, yeah. Congratulations, Colin, you won something.
It was a complete blowout and you decided to ignore me. It wasn't even just that I won. It was that I won with authority.
You really did. Yeah. So it was Australia, Canada, Netherlands, and you got closest on pretty much everything. So congratulations, Colin. Well done. And the other bit that we forgot to do, this goes back to our last opening ceremony episode for our Sarajevo one. We, at the end of every one of these that we do, we generally give our four categories of the overall weirdest moment, the biggest blunder, whether there was a mascot appearance, and what the best moment was. So I didn't give those out. We compiled those off air. And so I'll just quickly, for reference sake, the weirdest moment we had from Sarajevo 1984 was Hitler's cameo, because, that happened. The biggest blunder. Now, Jared, I think you brought this up, and I think this was something, this is a while ago, so maybe you don't remember this. There was apparently a flag that was upside down. Which flag was this? Do you remember what that was specifically? And we didn't point that out.
The main Olympic flag when they were raising up the flagpole.
Was completely upside down.
Two rings on top, three on the bottom.
Well, there you go. Well, no wonder what happened in Sarajevo 10 years after 1984. It's bad luck, bad juju with the flag, right? There you go. You brought it on yourself, Sarajevo. Mascot, but it was kind of on the screen, wasn't it? Like on the YouTube channel. You had the little dastardly dog, whatever it was, in the corner. And then the best moment was a cauldron, because we all love the cauldron of that. So just, okay. Housekeeping done. Great. Let's get to Munich. This opening ceremony is boring, gentlemen. I'll start with you, Colin. Anything else to add on the fact that this is? Let's before we talk about it, let's be fair. This 1970s, the opening ceremonies were a completely different thing in the 70s than they were today. So, you know, I don't mean to be harsh, because obviously an opening ceremony in 1972 was exactly what we're going to watch here. But, I mean, judging this on some of the golden era of opening ceremonies, which I'm putting out into the air that we can get one of these for next time, not the most entertaining thing I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, I mean, when I started this, it was 2 hours and 19 minutes or something like that, and it took 90 minutes to get through the Parade of Athletes, which opens the show. I didn't have high hopes. I think what's unfortunate is that the Parade of Athletes is probably the strongest part of this, because we got to see so many extreme 70s style outfits that were fantastic, especially coming off of some of the modern day ones where they all kind of look the same. So, I mean, the fashion was a highlight, I guess, in some cases. I've got a couple of fun moments that I noticed here, but yeah, I asked to see what my scoring was for the previous one, specifically because I didn't want anything to rank lower than this.
Yeah. Jared, I don't know if you keep tally of what you rank. You're a very organized man, but I'm sure you've got a very good memory. But I don't know if you come into this with that same opinion. I mean, the Munich opening ceremony.
I kind of wish that I kept a better record, because I just know that my like rankings at the end of this are going to be all over the place. I don't know. I'm not as harsh on this. I think there were so many... I don't know if there were good moments, but there were so many moments where I found myself like openly laughing out loud like throughout this, and there were like bits of like nostalgia to like amazing race challenges, and like the music throughout this whole opening ceremony is just so on fire. Like, it's the best, some of the best opening ceremony music we get from this like band. So I feel like my scores are going to be probably higher than expected.
I've got to say that I wanted to kind of have almost a, like, it was 1972. The opening ceremonies were so like rigid and structured and not really a thing. So therefore I can't really be harsh on it. But then I watched it and I'm like, I can see why they developed into what they are today. So I kind of feel like I've got to be harsh. But having said that though, there's part of me that kind of can see where Jared's saying what he's saying, because part of me would rather watch this than the Beijing 2022 or the Tokyo 2020 opening ceremony. Like, I don't know. I'm torn. I mean, like the Germans fucking love this. Listen to the crowd during this. They're like, oh, they whipped. Yes. And they go absolutely off. I mean, there's people on the hill with binoculars. Like, Munich was going off for these games. They absolutely loved it. And if you read a little bit into kind of the history on this opening ceremony and how much the Germans went out of their way to be like, 1936 didn't happen. Let's have a proper Olympics where nothing bad could possibly ever happen ever again to tarnish the legacy of an Olympics in Germany. Nothing at all could ever happen ever again. And at least at this point in the history of the Munich Olympics, things were looking bright and rosy. But... I don't know. If I'm watching 2 hours and 12 minutes of an opening ceremony and 90 minutes of that are people marching, and I'm not even using that figuratively, literally marching for 90 minutes, I'm kind of glad that we had a person on a treadmill for at least 10 minutes a few years ago, which I guess, shall we just get the parade over now? Because this is going to be the majority of our chat here. And I will say, if you want to watch the opening ceremony for the Munich Olympics, if you go to YouTube, type in Munich 1972 opening ceremony, the user Oliver Twist has posted this, not the famous literary character, I think, to somebody calling them. I mean, could be, I don't know, maybe this massive fanboy of the Olympics. They have posted this full opening ceremony and no commentary at all. There's no subtitles. There's nothing. I mean, if you don't speak German, good fucking luck. I mean, I guess if we spoke German, we might enjoy this more. I don't know. But it's all kind of in its entirety. And I was getting a bit excited at the beginning because I kind of liked these 1972 graphics and kind of the intro and had fancy cameras. I'm going like, well, look at this. This is 1972 live television. Who knew? And then we get to the parade. If you like stereotypical music by the orchestra, then by golly, by crikey, listen to the music. I mean, Jared, you're obviously a fan of this, but... I mean, seriously, it's like, here comes India, let's play some Indian-style music. Here comes America, let's play When the Saints Go Marching, which I did read apparently was planned. So apparently the countries did get to choose their music. So this wasn't just the Germans going like, oh, ethnic people, let's play some ethnic music. My first real note of this is that this is a time capsule, because like we are going back in time to countries that didn't exist, don't exist anymore, flags that are different, countries that are called one thing versus the other. I mean, that was very, very fascinating. I mean, I don't know about half of you when you're looking up countries in this. I'm like, where the fuck is Dahomey? And I'm like, oh, it's Benin. That's where it is. British Honduras was a thing still.
And who thought Dance Dance Revolution had their own country?
I know. There's like so many different places, a real time capsule. But I mean, again, the marching is like a literal thing, because this, as we know with opening ceremonies, this is what they did. It was very formal, very marching band, and that's what we see here. Everyone's in a suit, basically. Segregation was a thing in the 70s, because you're a woman, you walk in front, men work at the back, and if you're a woman, have a handbag. Because why do the women have a handbag? Australia, handbagless. We were progressive, even though our women marched in front. I'm just going to open the door for that. Chad, start with you. You're going to be positive on this more. So, I mean, I've got notes on certain countries here, but I mean, I got handbags, I got marching. I think it was Bolivia gave a Hitler salute as they walked past the officials, which I'm like, you know, that turned out okay. That's because all the Nazis were hiding in South America, right? So, Jared, please save me from more Nazi comments.
I feel like apart from the length, this is great. Like I said before, the music, whether it's stereotypical, I don't care. It's just so good that they have like these moments where it's like you're a boring country, so we'll just give you whatever we're currently playing. And like, here comes Mexico, and now we're going to play the Mexican hat dance. And it's just so good. And like the hats on display from the Mexicans, but then just so many other countries had like the best hats that we've seen. I feel like, too, this is one of, like, the more colourful ones, particularly, I suppose, like, you get more of, like, the colour at the Summer Olympics, but some of those winter ones where everyone's kind of wearing, you know, the same thing. Like, here, I was like, I felt like so many countries were distinct. Really, like, the African countries in, like, the dresses stood out so much. Like, the Mongolia in their, like, outfit with, like, the cape and, like, the wrestling outfit is the like, best. The best. I just feel like there's so much to like about this. Like, I get it was long. And everyone's marching, it's rigid. And the segregation is weird, especially like you really notice the height difference between the men and the women at this opening ceremony. But I just think the music, the vibe, the colors, the fashion, I just thought it was fun to watch. And like you said, it is a real, I suppose, time capsule. And to me, like that was just interesting.
I think you're passionate about it, Jared. You might be swaying me to add a bit to my score, because like I'm liking this passion. Colin, what side of the fence are you sitting on with this?
I mean, the best stuff in this probably still amounts to about 7 minutes out of 90. there's one thing right before the Parade of Athens actually starts, the opening of this, the opening graphics. I really appreciate that we have a camera zooming in on a camera zooming in.
Yeah.
Like, it literally starts with a cameraman and he starts zooming in and then the camera zooms in on that. And then we close with the same thing. I mean, yeah, the outfits were the highlight. Everything looked ridiculous, even the bland ones. But we still really only had two things. We had stewardess and sportscaster. You know, like the guys were sportscaster, the women were stewardesses. Australia, I love the mix where they had the stewardess outfit, but then they're wearing, in honor of being in Munich, Oktoberfest hats or something like that. I have the highlight of the entire show being the Mongolian wrestlers. If anybody wants to find this, that same video, Oliver Twist's video, right at the 52-minute mark, you see these guys coming out. I don't even know if that's their real hair, if they're wearing hats, but they're wearing Speedos and blue capes and, I don't know, some type of, you know, skin-tight armbands or something like that.
They're wrestlers, aren't they? Like, are they literally, pro
they're
wrestlers?
They're Mongolian pro wrestlers. But you would think, okay, well, this is, like, obviously everybody, this is some cultural thing. Everybody else behind them, sportscasters, stewardesses, these two guys in the front who probably, I don't know, lost a bet or something. And then they had to come dressed as blue cape pro wrestlers. It's just amazing. Some of the other stuff, I mean, you got to give it up to Bermuda for coming in Bermuda shorts, even though they're wearing press hats.
Coming, you know, they've always done it. They still to this day they do it. Come on.
Canada with their pimp hats was pretty good. The one really confusing thing outside of Bolivia giving the Heil Hitler symbol was the omission of Liberia and Lebanon. So you can see the countries coming out, and I see in the background, oh, there's Liberia. And the camera stays with whichever country was in front of them. And then all of a sudden it cuts to like a couple countries later. And I'm like, wait, they actually skipped that. You saw Liberia and Lebanon in the background who did not even get to appear on camera. Like whoever was operating the show had a grudge against Liberia and Lebanon where they cut them from the show. The Mexico coming out with there was a huge applause for Mexico, which, yeah, you know, probably because the host the Olympics prior to this, Olympics. The hats.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the hats had a lot to do with it.
Canada got a big cheer. They got a big cheer.
Well, I don't know if you were watching still, or if you'd fallen asleep when San Marino came out, but they cut to, which I'm guessing is maybe like the prime minister of San Marino, the crowd, and like he was the happiest guy in the whole opening ceremonies. He was just like, "There's my country."
Eurovision
yeah!
entry for 1972. That was.
I thought that was Ben's grandpa or something who was just really excited to see San Marino, Yeah, the best thing about this isn't just the marching. It is the fact that everything was synchronized. Not just you have to march, but when they reach a certain area, they all have to turn and put their hats on their hearts, unless you're Bolivian, which you're Heiling Hitler. And it's like everything was on command. Like you could almost picture the angry German stage director. Okay, I was like, marching left, right. No, faster, faster. And it's like, turn head. Hands on the hearts. It's like, slow down, you out of the opening ceremonies. Like, everything was so rigid to the point where it's like other countries are being given instructions to the very second on when to turn.
It is, because I'm glad you brought that up, because there was just that point where I'm guessing they're walking past the dignitaries where they do kind of have that staring, but that's where the Bolivians were going, like, you know, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler. But like, it's just, it's that weird, because like, I'm worried that, like, are they going to run into each other? Like, I mean, you know, is there, back in 1972, was there as much practicing in the opening ceremony as there was for their Olympic event? Because, you know, now it's all like free flowing, yay, phone, selfie. Because even the flag bearers are just like robots. They're like, staring, you know, looking at it. I can't remember which country it was. Like, they were so lazy, the flag was on the ground, so they probably got invaded like 10 years later as well. Because again, bad juju with the flags. But like, it was odd. But, I mean, yeah, Mongolia, amazing. I mean, they've given old Peter from Tonga inspiration, right? Let's all talk about Peter. Oh, he's shirtless again. Mongolia in 1972. You know, no one ever brings it
and
up.
And they had capes.
They had capes. They weren't oiled up and they weren't objectified like Peter is. Like, oh, he's so sexy. Don't objectify him. He's an Olympic athlete. What, you know, Mongolia weren't objectified. They just went out there and they competed for their country. All right? That's all I'm saying. And the women, well, you knew where they were there because, again, they were short. They were flight attendants and handbags. Like what? Like, I mean, is this just the 70s? It's just like, lol, women, and they're at the Olympics. They better have a handbag. Probably got some knitting in there too or something. I mean, I'm not often offended, but I'm offended for women in 1972. Like, I'm the feminist voice here. Jared, be a feminist voice. I mean, don't, like, why are the women carrying handbags out into the opening ceremony?
It was odd. I'm like, where's the man bag in this situation? Like, there just wasn't anything. And it was just weird too. I'm like, what are they putting in this?
Yeah.
What's going in this handbag, you know?
It's the 70s, a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you speak of the bag. Sydney 2000. Hopefully, we're putting it out there. We want that soon because they had little satchels that they had their little, like, kangaroos that they could throw into the crowd, right? It served a purpose. Men, women, doesn't matter. Have your bag. Here, it's just the women just... And, like, was that officially designated by the National Organizing Committee of those? Like, just Team Canada. All right. Canadian Olympians, congratulations. You've made the Olympics. Women, what do you want your handbags to look like? Like, what? I'm sorry, I'm representing the guests, but you're still a woman. You deserve a handbag. Like, I mean, it's just, it's the most oddest thing. And it's like, I thought, like, is this just one country? A third of the countries, probably more than that, the countries that allowed women, because so many of these countries were just men, that, again, it's the 70s. I get it. Times have changed. But, I mean, still, you don't, like, have a woman carrying a handbag.
In all fairness, how
big
comes really,
Colin, I mean, defend the women.
Well, I've kind of got a woman upstairs who has a closet all for handbags. And yes, I was like, can you give any of these away? I give away two of them. What about the other 108 up there?
I'm not saying women don't have handbags, but you may as well have the women coming out with a broom and, like, you know, cooking in the kitchen. Like, it's so sexist and over the top. It's just wrong.
But did they have pockets, though? Because the men had pockets. Every man had pockets.
Jared solved it. It's because women weren't allowed pockets in the 70s. Like, we've got to carry shit. The men have got pockets, right? I swear you gelled over Canada's freaking fedoras and you mentioned it, but, like, why does Canada have feathers in their fedoras? What is that?
They were pimp hats. They're all pimps.
Like, I mean, I swear every time we do one of these, Canada's got a questionable piece of uniform. Like, Australia, we're just green and gold and it's a jacket. Let's be honest. That's just all Australia ever is. Right? When we get to Athens, then we can really bag out our shit choice in uniform. But, like, honest to God, Colin Hilding, like, what is Canada? Like, you got to put your mark on the world. Everyone likes you. No one dislikes Canada. Why do you need to have, like, a feather in your pimp hat?
I honestly think that Canada was the country that embraced the 70s the most because I didn't see anybody else in bell bottoms either.
Yeah.
Like, we were really owning 1972 fashion.
I did love East Germany because this apparently was the first ever time East Germany were at an Olympic Games, by the way. There's a fun fact for you. The bright colors that they wore, like, I mean, West Germany is a host nation coming out. Yeah, we're West Germany, we're, you know, Vita Zane, whatever German. And then, like, the East Germans, they're the ones who are meant to have the restrictions and, you know, the communists, right? Like, they're out in bright colors. Like, I mean... Jared, you marked that one down. I like the brightness of the East Germans.
In my head, though, I was just thinking, like, I feel like when you got colors, then you know that you're definitely jealous of somebody else in your team's outfit. Like, if you get the wrong color, like, that's ruining your opening ceremony.
And I got to say, too, that, like, not only were people marching and very rigid, so many people just looked, like, bored. I guess, like, if you're marching, you're not like, hey, everyone, I'm marching. But it wasn't until, I think, Afghanistan were the first country that I wrote down. And of all the countries to be happy... I mean, clearly before shit went down in Afghanistan, it was a happy time in the 70s to be in Afghanistan, all right? What a time to be an Afghani person back then. But, like, straight away, they're like, hey, happy, happy. Everyone else is like, oh, serious, I'm marching along. So look what you've done to Afghanistan, America. Look at the Olympics in 72. You did that. You ruined that country.
It was something around that area of the A's because I noticed Albania as well. They came out and they're like, hello, hello. And then after that, everybody backstage was threatened with the whip. Like, no, you march left, right.
You're in Germany. We follow the orders. No happy. Anything else that we haven't touched on? I mean, again, it goes for an hour. Like, Colin literally messaged our group and he's like, oh, yeah, so it goes for like an hour and a half. And, like, you know, Colin exaggerates sometimes. He's not really a truthful man, but he was honest this time. 90 minutes of a 2 hour and 10 minute opening ceremony. Like, if you do the ratios of it, that's like, you know, a 4 hour opening ceremony today would be like 3.5 hours of this, which, I mean, in all fairness, as we learned when we had Rick Birch on the show last year, what's the most highly rated part of the opening ceremony? The Parade of Nations. So the Germans were on board with this 52 years ago. Anything else to add, gentlemen?
No, I mean, it is kind of funny you were mentioning about East Germany because I noticed the same thing with China, as I mentioned. China was in, like, very straight lines of color. It's like, this is the orange line, this is the yellow line. Like, they could not commit to a color, but they made sure that everything was completely lined up properly for each color.
Well, China, they're very organized, right? Couple of things I'll actually just add before we give the score. Australia's flag bearer, Dennis Green, a canoeist, was a bronze medalist at the 1956 Olympics. So he was at that point in his fifth Olympic Games, if you don't mind there, old Dennis. So good job for you to carry the flag for Australia. And Canada's flag bearer, Colin Hilding, which I'm sure you have come prepared. It was you. Douglas Rogers, a judo athlete who going into those Olympics was a silver medalist from the Tokyo Olympics. So there you go. Congratulations to Dennis, who sadly passed away only in the last couple of years. So Dennis was Australia's. Doug and Dennis, two very white men names. Do you know Doug Rogers, a Canadian icon? Is he, you know, well-renowned in the parts of Canada?
I mean, I looked him up and I saw that, I mean, I guess a couple of years prior to this, he won golds and silvers in the Winnipeg 1967 Pan Am Games.
Oh, so he's a city hero.
Must have been on the front page of the Winnipeg Free Press back in the day.
He's from Nova Scotia, eh? So loved it. And just, Jared, I'm sure you're wondering, Dennis is from Epping in New South Wales. Have you ever been to Epping before?
I think I've got a train through there. I don't know if I've ever bothered to get off.
Who hasn't? It's often renowned as the train pass through capital of Sydney. I want Colin to go first on the ranking here because I had a ranking and I just changed it, but I want to see where Colin's sitting at to see how I've changed mine.
Honestly, I, looking right now, I've never given any Parade of Athens higher than a 2.5. I gave a 2 for Sarajevo. I don't think I want this to be higher, even though this is the highlight of the show. So I'm going to go just straight 2.
Just a straight 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I feel a bit bad now. Jared, I'm scared what you're going to give this then if you like this.
This to me is a 3.5.
This is the highest you've ever given. A 3.5.
It's great.
Wow. So you gave Sarajevo a 3, Calgary a 3, Rio a 3, Lillehammer a 2.5, and Munich, it's a 3.5. Wow. In reference, Colin, that is your equal lowest you've ever given. I originally gave this a 0.5. I really did. I was bored out of my mind, despite there being colorful outfits and Nazi salutes. I bumped this up to a 1.5, but then I dropped it down to a 1. I'm looking here. So I gave Rio a 3.5. Rio, that was a highlight of that episode. Lillehammer, 2.5. Calgary was a bit boring. Sarajevo, I'm sticking with a 1. I'm sorry. I'm critical on this. Like, I did not expect this is going to get a 3.5 from somebody, but no, I'm going to stick to a 1. I think it's just, too long. And, like, I mean, if there was other cultural stuff and everything, maybe, but anyway. Speaking of cultural, some kids did a dance and there was some whips. and they gave as much time to celebrating Mexico from the last Olympics than they did for German culture. Again, I know the opening ceremonies were a bit different. They didn't really do what they do today with culture. But, I mean, the crowd fucking went gaga for the kids in their circles. They just went, oh, golly gosh, Mrs. Dusseldorf, Hilga. What a fantastic display of children unity. I don't really know what else to add. I've written his spooky opera and ghosts. Was that like at the end? There was like some really weird music.
I think that's that part where they're like focusing on the dome over the stadium with, oh.
That's it. The one thing I will give it props for, doves. I say bring back doves. I mean, I've kind of actually mainly marked that in the speeches. Other, that's kind of like the ceremonial aspect because basically until obviously Seoul when they burnt half the doves on the cauldron, doves were a part of the opening ceremony. I fucking love the doves, although maybe a few more. What do you reckon? I mean, that blanketed whole stadium. I'll start with you for this, Colin. I mean, kids dancing in circles and whips.
Yeah, and like the giant wreaths that they were holding too, that were like as tall as most of the people doing the dances was weird. The highlight of this was the Mexican display. That's the sad part. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. So I assumed it's like, well, these Germans really love their sombreros. Like, I wasn't sure why they're giving so much time to Mexico. The one guy especially who's like furiously beating his hat, like as he's going down the track and he's like slapping it against the track or whatever, that the sound really carried for that. But that guy was really angry at that. That had nothing to do. There's a dove stuck in here. Somebody get out.
Get this dove out of my hat. It's bad luck.
Like they were supposed to be part of a magic trick later on, but the thing started like pooping on his head or something. there's really nothing here. The whips as well. Like being able to hear the sound of the whips was pretty cool. I think this was... It was an interesting visual to have all the athletes, you know, with especially with all the different colors lined up on the field, but limiting your entertainment to just the track around it. Like, I can't imagine how hard that would be for somebody to watch on the other side of the stadium. Although it was interesting, too, that like these people are part of the festivities. And if you watch throughout the entire ceremonies, the 90 minutes prior, they're just sitting on the sidelines, like really, really closely, you know, sitting together, like all bundled up almost. And they just, I can't cross this line here. And then they have to go out there and perform. It really wasn't great at all. I mean, I also kind of put the doves into the other part, but yeah, I'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, Mexico, they came out in fine form.
They did. I'm sad we don't have access to a Mexican opening ceremony because it was that popular. This is at the, I should say, the Olympiastadion. I can't speak German. Apologies to our German listeners. But, I mean, I do, again, I like the overlooking hill that basically you had the freeloaders tuning into the opening ceremony. And I'll just add, Jared, before I get your thoughts, is it appropriate to have Germans and whips? Like, they're trying to avoid 1936 and Nazi Germany. Like, I mean, having Germans like whip, like, I just felt a bit cringy. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, we had that. Didn't we have that in Calgary with like the cowboys, the whips? So, I mean, Canadians can whip people. Germans, give it a few more years. You know, 36 years, not enough time has passed, if you ask me. Jared.
I feel like this was fun.
Oh, Jared!
The kids section wasn't too bad as far as kids sections go. It was disappointing that definitely there were like certain groups that were more talented than others. Like some of like the circles at the end when they're making these shapes were definitely more impressive than others towards the back of the stadium. but the whole Mexico section, I'm just including it because there wasn't a lot here. Like that was great. The guy, yeah, like dusting the track with his sombrero, obviously unhappy that the athletes paraded and tracked in so much dirt. I feel like he did everyone a big service there. The color of that as well. I mean, the whips I thought were great, better than the Calgary whips, let's be honest. I liked kind of the round, like them going around like the whole stadium, like section by section with the whips I thought was great. And then like, how can we forget the highlight, the like German slap dance in the Lederhosens? Is like almost enough to like, that makes me just want to like, if that was the only thing they did, I would be giving this a 5. that to me is amazing. It like, I feel like it was the most recent season in the Amazing Race to have that as a task. So I don't know why, but like that to me is just like classic Germany doing their slap dance in their Lederhosen. Like, what more do you want? Like, I want to learn about the country. Yeah. Here's, that's what they do. That's what they do every day. They just pop on their Lederhosens and do their slap dance. So that to me was amazing. The doves I included here, I thought that was just fun and wild. And I love that you have this massive swarm and then later on you have like the rest like trickling out right at the end while they're shaking the containers to get them out. No, I thought there was a lot to like here. Obviously, there's not a lot going on, but I thought what was going on was good. And because it was so short too, nothing went on for too long, which is a problem with other opening ceremonies.
I think in all fairness, we've talked about it longer than it actually happens. But and in, I guess in defense of the Germans, that again, you know, cultural aspects of that country were, you know, let's just say a little bit still questionable so soon after a certain event a few years beforehand. So the Germans have just gone, we need to have them forget about it. Put German guy out there to dance in Lidos and go Hans, dance. Dance! So, you know, if Russia get the Olympics in like 20 years' time, they're going to be like, yes, let's forget about what happened. Put a guy in funny hat out in front and drink vodka. That's what we're known for. Nothing else. Like, I mean, I guess it kind of worked. This is why I feel like, I honestly feel bad that Germany has not hosted an Olympics in 1972. I mean, the 2 times they've hosted the Summer Olympics, things haven't exactly been great for them. So,
yeah,
I feel it's time to give Germany another chance. And let's give them some actual, like, freaking go out full throttle culture and just, like, show them what they're known for. I don't know. Just go all German. It's efficient. You've got the Autobahn, like, just driving, you know, 200 kilometers an hour in the middle of the Olympiastadion. I'm down for it with a guy dancing with Lederhosen, right? Michael Schumacher in there. Just put it out. Let Steffi Graf hitting a few balls.
Rammstein in Lederhosen.
Rammstein. Yes. Can we have Rammstein? What's the what's the name? The Love, oh love, Satellite Woman
from Lena.
Lena, thank you. 99 Luftballons. There's plenty of German culture that we can celebrate now in 2024. Is it too late to give Paris the flick and give it to Germany? I'm giving it a 1. I'm sorry. There's nothing here. There's just nothing. Like a good on your hands for doing the Lederhosen. You've got a couple of whips. You've got the kids and the wreaths, but I want more of Mexico. I'm 4 years too late. I'm sorry, Munich. You're not a good start for Ben. Jared, hit me with your high score for this.
3.
Oh, okay. That was bad. Thought you were going higher there, but okay. All right. That's your second highest. So, wow. Colin, that's you.
I'm completely agreeing with you, Ben. I have this as a 1, and at least 50% of that is for Mexico. So if it was just Germany, it would be 0.5. I hope that we could even just go back just to do the cultural part of the Mexican opening ceremonies, because I'm sure that they nailed it.
Well, I'll randomly look. Somebody might have it on a VH if they even broadcast it. It might just pop up one day on YouTube. But I mean, again, this is the oldest one we can find in terms of any of our opening ceremonies. So there you go. Let's get to the fun ones, the bits where Ben's going to give a little bit higher for. Speeches other. Now, did I have a clue what anybody
was higher?
Well, yeah, because I've got a couple of positives for this. Like, I don't know what they were saying, but that's a good thing. Like, I mean, I'm a bit more intrigued. Like, I'm a bit more hooked on to these guys talking, because I want to point out my favorite guy in all of this. Now, I've got his name here, the president of the organizing committee of the Munich Olympics. Willy Daum is his name. Now, come on, we've done a few of these opening ceremonies. Is he not the happiest man ever? He's all like, you're in Germany, it's the Olympics. Like, nothing could possibly go wrong. We've organized these for years, and like, they've called these the friendly games. It's like, forget about what happened in this country like 30, 40. Nothing happened. All right, you didn't see anything. And we're going to celebrate sport and entertainment and everything for the next 16 days. Nothing political. Nothing political will happen at all. These Olympics will be remembered for nothing more than the sport ever. He was so happy. I love that man. He was so great. And the German president standing up there, Gustav Heinemann, if you looked up German in the dictionary, there's a picture of Gustav Heinemann. That guy is about as stereotypical German as you can get. I mean, he was all straight to the point. Das Olympics are open. I mean, what's not to like about him? I mean, so good. And then the best part of all is we get our very first taste, and I don't know if you guys know much about the IOC president at this time, Avery Brundage, who is renowned as a horrible
Olympic silver medalist something.
Well, he did win Olympic medals, but he's renowned as basically like an absolute asshole, because he apparently was so staunchly pro-amateur that if you had entered something when you were like 15 and got paid a postage stamp to enter a running race, you were disqualified and barred from the Olympics for life. You couldn't accept any payment. I mean, let's forget that this guy kind of helped modernize the Olympics and turn them into a big thing today. He's renowned as an absolute dick. He's American, so that, you know, let's go figure. But anyway, my favorite part of this, though, I've just read books, Avery. That's all I know about you. You could have been a decent human being. I don't know. I'm an asshole, but look, whatever. My favorite part of this whole bit is you've got an American president, the IOC, reading German. And this guy's like going, Das Olympics ist gut zu Bayern einen German. Like, basically, if I was to read some German right now, he would sound like, this guy's not even trying. And I love the effort that Avery Brundage is giving here. I'm pro speeches in this. I'm loving the speeches. Jared, you look like this might be the part you disagree with me.
I thought they were fine. It was fun not knowing anything that they were saying, but then catching bits and pieces. I think German is like an amazing language.
I agree.
So if you're going to have one that doesn't have commentary or translation, I think this is kind of the way to go. Not much to add. I loved Gustav with his like super thick glasses. Like, that guy must have been so blind without them. And then I love too, like, the like athlete and official host, and like the difference between them saying it in German and then it'll be like two words in English after they've spoken five minutes of German. I thought was great. And then the official who takes the oath, like this guy in this like Kermit the Frog blazer, is just living his best life. So I thought there was a lot of like, I mean, it was fine. It was short. It was to the point, which is generally what you want from speeches.
Fun fact, first ever time in the history of the Olympics that an official was tasked with taking an oath, and it was the first time a female athlete took the athlete. And I loved, I did have a name here somewhere. I've got to find it. But I loved kind of like how she was like in cahoots, so she's reading the oath and then like the loudspeaker would read it and she was like pausing and then doing it. Like, German efficiency, just perfect right there going to it. Colin, speeches.
I don't think I'm as high on it, mostly because I couldn't understand it.
Racist.
I would I would be hard pressed to give this a higher rating than the others when I don't know what they said, because they could have very well been like, you know, Hitler lives, bow down before him. My favorite one was the athlete oath. That was great. Even just having all the flags in the background there, and like you said, pausing, the synchronization of that. I don't know if I would say this guy's the happiest guy ever. Like, to me, it looked like the sun was in his eyes. Well, it just looked like the sun was in his eyes and his face was like fixed, like,
That's German happy. That's how Germans look when they're happy.
My mistake. Let's bump it up to a 3. Yeah, there's not a lot here to even comment on. Like, if I feel bad to give this a bad rating because it could have been great, but I also can't give it a higher rating because it may be the filth they were saying could just be unforgivable that we're going to be rating this higher. I can't have that on my conscience.
You want squeaky guy from Rio? I'm so happy to be at the Olympics. Heidi Schuller was the female who took the athlete who took the oath. The female. She wasn't wearing a handbag. That wasn't a woman.
She didn't have a handbag. That's how you couldn't tell.
She finished 5th in the long jump in Munich. The Doves. Again, we touched on the Doves. But fuck, the Doves are great. And I love they cut to a Swedish athlete like cradling a dove. Did you see that? Like a dove, like you're talking about a dove's in my hat. This Swede's gone like, oh, fuck, a dove. I'm taking this home with me. Give it to the kids.
Put it in the handbag.
That's what they were for. Take a dove home. You're a woman. You've got kids. Put a dove in the handbag. What happens to those doves after, like, you know, like, again, like, say what you will about Korea. All right. Like, they burnt some. But, I mean, at least, you know, they cleaned up the raging dove population that was flying above Seoul after those Olympics. People in Munich just wiping bird shit off their windows. Fuck, what are these doves doing here? Oh, the Olympics are on. Right. I want to know what happened to all the doves. I'm giving this a 2.5. I'm on board with the speeches. Again, like, it's just entertaining not knowing what they're saying in a way. And I'm with you, Jared. I love the German language. It's fun to hear. I mean, this is my second lowest I've ever given. I've actually been very complimentary on the speeches except for Rio.
I think we all have.
But no, I'm putting this right in the halfway point. 2.5. Jared.
3.
Okay. Wow, this is going to be a very high score for you. Colin.
I mean, my lowest speeches was 3.5. So
no, it was a 1, wasn't it, from Rio?
Yeah, I don't have to go that much lower, but I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go with a 1.5. No idea what they're saying. And the doves, the people trying to get out of their eyes as they're releasing the doves, as the feathers are flying everywhere. that could almost be in the biggest blunder, but I guess you expect that.
Yeah. Get out of my hat.
1.5 seems fair. It's not as low as the culture.
The cauldron now... This is the beauty about old opening ceremonies, right? Because the cauldron is basically the same every time. It's a big flat thing up some steps, and you've got a very usually man running through, athletic, very rigid, right? Like, you know, it's kind of like it. But the beauty about this one, so it starts off with some gunshots on a hill because, again, like, are they just giving people flashbacks in Germany? Let's put a hill with some gunshots. Like, don't. It's the friendly games. Move on, Germany. And you got all the people, like, you know, staring on the hill. But then outside of nowhere, you get, duh, 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 and you get, like, man walking in with torch, running into the stadium, followed by some other men. Now, this the man who's holding this, his name is Gunther Zahn. He was a long-distance runner. So he's a guy who lights a cauldron. But the idea behind this, which, again, we can't understand, and there's no commentary on this anyway, this... In the whole plan for Germany to be like, hey, we're Germany, we're friendly, let's invite the world, we've never done anything wrong. the runners behind them were symbolic, as they were meant to represent every other continent. So behind Gunther, we had Kenya's Kip Kano, American Jim Ryun, Australia's Derek Clayton, and Japan's Kenji Kimihara. So South America apparently were just completely forgotten about, and so are Antarctica, racist. But that was the symbol. It was like, let's get some runners behind this German to be like, hey, this is what the world could have been like had we taken over a few years ago. Everyone would be behind us. I really apologize to the Germans in this episode. I actually love the Germans and I love Germany. So please don't hunt me down. But anyway, Gunther gets the torch. He's running in the stadium. He's running up the steps. He's got some yellow carpet. There he goes. He's running up. And poor old Gunther better done his training and had his Weet-Bix that morning, because there's some bloody lots of steps. You see in the background the tower. That's the Olympiaturm, or known the Olympic Tower, which was built for the Olympics. It's still there in Munich. You can go up the top. There's a revolving restaurant if you're ever in Munich. And runs up the top, holds the torch. Now, unlike freaking, you know, the Pan Am games, whoopsie, let's light it beforehand. This is similar to Sarajevo. He's holding it. It's waiting. It's waiting. You see these like little circular things where all of a sudden, and then it goes, woof. And then everyone's just like, oh, well done. Well done. Well done. And then buggers off. Off we get people in lederhosen and whipping. It's simple. It's to the point. It's a cauldron. There's lots of bloody stairs. There's cultures of the world. I'm on board for the Munich cauldron. Colin, let's go to you next.
I really am kind of scared, because I just looked this up and we get far more listeners in Germany than we do the United Kingdom or France. there's going to be a huge drop in downloads.
If the one thing we know Germans are for, it's for their sense of humor. So they're laughing their asses off at this.
And their forgiveness. yeah.
Colin said it. Forgiving nation, the Germans. Yep. Never hold a grudge.
This wasn't terrible. I liked having the other nations there. I like that the stairs, first of all, it's always impressive to watch them run up the stairs, but these ones look especially steep.
Yeah.
Also having the crowd within inches of them. It's not like you take one quick stumble and you're wiping out, you know, 16 people in the crowd. And then when they get to the very top, those stairs didn't look supported by anything. Like, I don't know how anybody was standing on there, but he did not slow down. He goes all the way to the top, and then he basically runs across this very narrow platform. Like, that's all impressive. I just felt like this was a bit of missed opportunity for two areas. One, how do they not have Mongolians in capes running behind them? I want to see those capes blowing in the wind. Yes. That would have made it. But also, as soon as they started off with the guns on the hill, I thought, oh, we're going to see the people running down the hill and then into the stadium. And just having started in the stadium just seemed like a missed opportunity. I don't want to hold that much against it, but I mean, how much better would that have been? Like, you're starting on the hill and then they're running through the gunfire, and then they come into the stadium and then they go up the stairs. But still, it was you know, one of the highlights of the show. So it was what it was. I love the yellow carpet on the stairs too. Yeah. Very 70s.
Which, if I have one criticism about the cauldron, make it a bit bigger. Like, because when they zoom out, yeah, and you see this little cauldron, you're like, okay, well, you could have done a little bit better. And like, obviously, because you see the Olympic Tower in the background, I thought he was going to light the Olympic Tower. You know, my idea is light the Eiffel Tower come Paris Olympics this year. It'll be bloody fantastic. You'll never forget that image. Light the Olympic Tower. So, you know, I'm still hopeful that Paris will do that with the Eiffel Tower. Light the whole thing on fire. Like, if New York got the Olympic Statue of Liberty, like,
Statue of Liberty torch.
Freaking obvious, man. Come on. Why didn't we light the sails of the Sydney Opera House on fire for the Olympics? Oh, Brisbane, Story Bridge. It's not that appealing. It's ugly compared to the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Light it on fire. Burn it. Burn South Bank.
Burn it to the ground.
Burn it all. Burn Brisbane. I like Brisbane. I really do. Jared.
I feel like this was pretty stock standard. And the hard thing is that I feel like we've got this exact same cauldron lighting, but better. I feel like it was better in like Sarajevo with, yeah, like the Olympic colored carpet following behind. I was impressed by, I suppose, yeah, how many steps. And like Colin said, the fact that the end bit is just like, you're at the very top of the stadium. Let's add on some more steps on this unsupported structure for you to climb up. So I thought it was okay, but like, nothing to kind of stand out.
Okay. I just think, bring back the steps. I think, like, you know, no matter what we have in Paris, we've had like the worst cauldron lightings in the world in the last couple of Olympics. Like, they've just been such a letdown. Oh, we're going to be environmentally friendly and just put a torch. Shut up, Beijing. All right. Just like, make Paris exciting. Steps. I just want lots of steps. You know, that's all I want. If I have one hope for Paris, steps. That's all.
And doves into the cauldron.
And the band steps. I know they're not French, but I mean, Colin, Jared nodded straight away. He knew what I was talking about. Were you a steps?
You know, you want 5, 6, 7, 8 playing while they're lighting the cauldron.
Yeah. Colin's looking at us going, you young kids, I don't know. That's not the Go-Go's. I don't know who you're talking about. Jared, you can go first with this one.
2.5.
2.5. I'll join you because I've said exactly the same. Colin?
Yeah, I agree. Wow.
Wow. 2.5 across the board. So that means that, Jared, that is your second lowest. So you had Calgary and Rio at 2. Colin, that is your second lowest as well. You had Rio at 2. And it is my second lowest because I had Rio at 0.5. No, hang on. I'm looking at the wrong one here. I had Rio at 1.5. Okay. But it's still my second lowest. We've got to get to our final four little categories here. But anything else to add that we haven't mentioned on the opening ceremony at all? Jared, any German jokes you want to add to the list today?
I don't think so. New Zealand, the women's hats were terrible.
That's, yeah. Put in your handbag.
That stood out to me. The worst hat of the opening ceremony, I think.
It's New Zealand. What do you expect? Colin?
The stadium looked great. I loved the little canopy thing. And then the weird chanting thing as they decided, let's show you every inch of the stadium. That was bizarre. But I don't know, was this a brand new stadium?
It was.
Do we know?
Yeah. So the Olympia Stadium, it was constructed, it was opened in 1972. So it broke ground in 1968. Still used. I remember it being used during the World Cup back in 2006. So, and Bayern Munich was their home ground for quite some time as well, according to this. So there you go. Beautiful. And apparently the whole district, like the Olympic district there in Munich, is apparently quite fascinating to see. Fun fact, actually, Colin, I didn't know if you knew this, but Montreal bid for 72, so they obviously got 76, but they could have had it in 1972 instead. So,
and then people would be trying to forget everything about Montreal.
Steven Spielberg could have done a movie called Montreal.
Montreal.
Exactly. There you go. All right, so our final four sections before I read out the final scores for this. Weirdest moment. I'm going for either Nazi salute or the handbags. Any other nominees here?
Yeah, Bolivia's Nazi salute. It definitely qualifies as weirdest as well, but I'm going to save Mongolian wrestlers for something else.
That's the best part, right? So two in a row we've had something to do with Hitler and the Nazis. That's not great. Biggest blunder? Biggest blunder be? Handbags?
I would say them... for whatever reason, deciding not to feature Liberia and Lebanon. That was the closest I got.
Yeah. Jared?
I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
The German efficiency, I feel like you weren't allowed to.
I mean, it's kind of like the biggest blunder happened 10 days into these Olympics. But Germans didn't have very good efficiency in that. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, guys, you said Colin, no. So lack of ignoring country.
Liberia and Lebanon.
Liberia... Lebanon, sure. Nothing to do with the mascot. We didn't have the little wiener dog at all. Not even a mention.
So not even a wiener.
Not even
a,
no wieners. No, let's just write no wiener. The best moment. We all kind of had our differing one, but it's Mongolia. Is that? I mean, that's
Mongolian wrestlers.
Is that the only one, Jared? Is that the only one we can all agree on?
I'd go the slap dance, but I'm happy to. to give a shout out to the Mongolian wrestlers.
Mongolian. Wrestlers. Okay. So not looking good for Munich. So overall, from all of us, so it gets a 7 from me, a 7 from Colin, a 12 from Jared, giving it a 26 in total. But congratulations, Rio. You're no longer the worst opening ceremony we've done. You are 2 points ahead of Munich. So Munich at the bottom, a 26, Rio with a 28. 34 for Calgary, 38 for Sarajevo, and Lillehammer untouched. Lillehammer from the very beginning has not been touched. If we're looking at this individually, Jared, you have this above Calgary and above Rio. You've just offended the Canadian on this, but you've got it below Sarajevo and below Lillehammer. Colin, you have this smack bang at the bottom below Rio and obviously all the other ones that we've done. And I also have it below Rio and all of that. So I guess middle for Jared and bottom for Colin and I. So cool.
Jared just wanted to be on top. He lost in the Youth Olympics, so he had to come out number one.
He's like, I need to get something going here. Now, I reckon we're only going to probably be able to do one more of these before the Olympics this year, because we've got another sort of special episode planned for May, where we're going to be doing another crossover episode with Keep the Flame Alive. And basically from then, we're going to be pretty backed up towards the Olympics with interviews and other episodes. So I'm saying right now, we'll do one more. We'll do that next month. And I want to put the juju out there, all right? Because, like, let's be honest here. We've now had a 70s one. We've had a couple of 80s. We've had a 90s. We've had a 2010s. Nothing in the 2000s. The golden period, right? Like, just universe it out there, Jared. What are we wanting? What are you thinking here for an opening ceremony?
Honestly, give me Sydney at this point.
Yeah, I'm wanting Sydney. Sydney or London are my two, but I'd be happy with Vancouver because I like Vancouver. I'm wanting Sydney, though. Colin, give us a take here.
I mean, I was thinking I wanted to see Albertville or Barcelona, but because that's the era that we seem to have the best ceremony. But Sydney is interesting because I've never seen anything more than highlights. That was the one opening ceremonies that I wasn't able to watch and didn't have on tape. So a lot of it could be completely new to me. Well, let's go Sydney.
All right. So I'm doing, let's do the screen share because apparently these two, I don't think, believe me for whatever reason. So as you can see, we've got here random number generator picker. We've got 1 to 25. So if I press this.
Well, let's give a plug to whose random number generator
Andrew is. Andrew.hedges.name/experiments/random. Thank you very much, Colin. Very much appreciate that. If we want Sydney, it's 14. All right. So we see a number here. It's 14. We don't want 1, 5, 7, 11, or 22. Or we don't want 25 either. We're not doing Beijing. All right. Ready, steady. And it's 23, Pyeongchang. Oh. I guess we will do it. Oh, far out. This is cursed. Nobody, like, they would not let us do the 2000s.
Aww. I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second, Ben. What was that random number that came up between 1 and 22?
Maybe in hindsight. I mean, Rio got slightly better for us, didn't it? And again, you know, Tokyo.
You got to press it again to see what you would have got. If you
press it again. No one
We're
here
doing Pyeongchang, but you got to press it again.
No one here is happy for the result. All right, let's do this again. It is 22. We're doing Rio again. Oh, well, I better press it for a third time. 23 again. It really wants us to do Pyeongchang. Oh, what about 10? Oh, Barcelona. Let's just get
But you know what?
Pyeongchang over
I'm
and
looking
done
it up.
With.
We're at 2.5 hours. So really only a couple minutes longer than this. It won't be that much of a challenge to get through.
I say, let's just get it over with. Winter sometime. I mean, there was K-pop. The Cauldron was better than Tokyo.
Defer La Pointe Sisters.
Yeah, sure. It was our first winter games. Let's be nostalgic on this. So what a way to end. We'll come back after Paris and we'll do something better. Like, subscribe, do all the regular things that you do on this show because that's what we do. Next week, we're going back into paratriathlon. We're talking to Hannah McDougall, who's a great story. She won a bronze medal at the Paralympics in 2004 in swimming, took up cycling, and now is doing paratriathlon. So she's literally doing three different sports and now doing three different disciplines in a sport, which makes sense. And after that, we're doing sport climbing, we're doing skiing, and we're doing other things in the meantime as well. Jared, are you doing anything that you want to plug? No? Yeah. Cool. Colin?
I am. Casper has his first indoor track meet coming up in a couple weeks. In which he has now been officially coached by Uncle Donovan
Uncle
Bailey.
Uncle Donovan, yes.
So everybody listening, you know, you want to give some supportive words to Casper, 7-year-old future Olympic medalist, and tell him that listen to Uncle Donovan Bailey.
Legally, I'm not allowed to talk to 7-year-olds, but I will pass on a message through lawyers and hopefully it will get to him eventually. Good luck, Casper. How do you think he's going to go?
I'm currently using the Tokyo Olympic video game to teach him he has to jump at the white line for long jump. So we'll see how it goes.
Good. I'm sure that will help him out a lot. So we wish him all the best. Good luck. We also are still hopefully planning on doing some sort of news episode, rap thing. We've got things in the pipeline. So just stay tuned to all the regular bits. by doing that, you say hello to Jason Momoa, the Birmingham Bull, subscribe, do everything else, go left, everything else in between. Colin, thank you. Jared, thank you. If you've enjoyed this episode, my name has been Ben Waterworth, and if you haven't enjoyed this episode, my name has been Rob Cestanino. Good night!